Good morning, church. My name's Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here. I want to start, of course, by saying happy Mother's Day. Moms, if this church is a blessing and encouragement to you, that's success. All right, not just today, all year long. I pray that this would be a place where you would draw life, draw the everything you need to just keep going. All right, church, this morning, my goal is to get you to quit working. All right. A couple of people don't like their jobs. They're saying, all right, I came on the right morning. No, I'm not talking about your jobs. I'm talking about for heaven. First time I ever preached, I was about 17 years old, and it was an absolute train wreck. I have no stinking clue why the youth pastor let me do this, but I mean, I wasn't even really a Christian. I had no clue how to prepare and deliver a message. I didn't even understand the simple gospel. I was clueless, and with no help, no preparation, no guidance of any sort, this youth pastor essentially just handed me a mic and turned me loose on a group, on a room full of about 65 high schoolers. Needless to say, it was a dumpster fire. It was not edifying in anyone's life, because my understanding at the time of what it meant to be a Christian was more or less behave in a certain way. If you're a Christian, you behave. To be a Christian means you behave this way. And so that was the message I understood, so you better believe that's a message I preached then. And so what I did was found a verse in the New Testament that happened to mention the word hypocrite. I read that text to the group of high schoolers, and then I defined the word hypocrite for them, basically as someone who says they're a Christian but doesn't act like it. And then I spent a solid 15 to 20 minutes telling all them how they're a bunch of hypocrites, and you know, and I've seen you doing this and that and the other thing, and y'all need to knock that off, and here's another thing I see you guys doing, you need to knock that off too. It was a train wreck. And the crazy thing is that my youth pastor didn't correct me at all. In fact, after I was done, he stood up, takes the mic, and he goes, Amen, and closes in prayer. And looking back on that, I'm going, oh my goodness, what was going on? Well, the most tragic part about this thing was that that message, right, that you can behave your way into right standing with God, that message could not be further from God's heart. The loud and clear of the message is that you cannot behave your way into heaven. Let's be honest here. This is what most people think. Like, if you start listening to when you start talking about hell, heaven, God, who gets in, who doesn't get in, so on and so forth, people will start using the language of good person, being a good person. Well, I think he's probably in heaven. I mean, he was a good guy. Or why do you think if you get hit by a bus today and you go meet the big man, why are you getting in? Why is he going to let you get in? Well, I try to be a good person. Here's the deal. You cannot good person your way into heaven. That's just not how it works. And this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Why? Because we are talking about wasting your life. We're talking about wasting your life here on earth and for eternity. And this matters. This matters because here's what the Bible teaches, is that good people don't go to heaven. Good people don't earn right standing with God. Forgiven people do. That's the gospel. The emphatic message of the gospel is that Jesus, he's done everything necessary to bring heaven into our lives and bring our lives into heaven. Today, this morning, I want to look at a passage Romans chapter 10, verses 6 through 13, this passage explains that Jesus has done everything necessary to bring heaven right to our doorstep. Romans 10, I'm going to start at verse 6. Now, Paul is in the middle of explaining that we cannot be made right with God by even our best efforts. But, verse 6, he says, the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Pray with me. Father, I ask right now that you would do the miraculous, regenerating, saving work in our hearts that would cause us to trust Jesus more, trust our works less, and bring us to the point where we just surrender control to you. I pray that in your name. Amen. All right, I want you to hear the way this passage proclaims three gospel truths. One, God doesn't want your hard work. Two, he just wants you to trust Jesus. And three, people who trust Jesus give him control. Number one, God doesn't want your hard work. Look at verses 6 and 7 here. Verse 6 says, the righteousness that is based on faith, where he's talking about the gospel, being made right with God, being put into right standing with God, being made righteous with God. How does it happen? By faith, by trusting God. He says that message, what does it say? It says, do not say in your heart, right? Don't tell yourself, don't believe the lie, this notion that who will ascend to heaven? Like how will we ever climb up to heaven? How will we ever work our way up there? There's no need, Paul's saying, there's no need for some sort of moral ladder that you could climb. Why? Jesus already came down. He already brought heaven with him. It's called the incarnation. That was good enough. He says, man, that's in a sense, that's to bring Christ down again. Jesus already came once. You don't need to try to make Jesus come again by working hard enough. We cannot climb up into heaven. And then he goes on to say, or who will descend into the abyss? He's quoting Leviticus chapter 30 here. There's no need to try to rappel down into death, to try to conquer it. Jesus already did that. It was good enough the first time, right? He says, Jesus already was slain on a cross. He already died. He was already laid in a tomb. We don't need to try to do that again. We will never, by our good works, by our best efforts, we will never be able to offer to God a lamb that is more spotless and more perfect and more acceptable than Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was slain for the sins of the world. We don't have to try to swim across the sea or climb up into heaven. It's not far away. We don't have to work for it. Look at what verse 8 says. Verse 8 says, it's right here. He says, the word, What's the word there? The gospel truth. He says the word of faith that we proclaim, this message of Jesus, the message of Christ crucified and resurrected, and that salvation is by faith in him alone. It's near. It's right here. Heaven is near. God doesn't need our hard work. Jesus already brought heaven right to our doorstep. So number two, God just wants us to trust Jesus. It's as simple as that. Look at verse 9. He says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, number one, and number two, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can't save yourself. These two things, let's take them in reverse order. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that God raised Jesus from the dead, why does that matter? Look, you notice that it's not just if you believe in God, you'll be saved. Hell, it's full of people that believe in God. That's not enough. God is looking for something very specific from the core of your being. If you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. Why does this matter? Why does it matter? What does the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead have to do with anything? I'll tell you, it's everything. If you go to a church that doesn't believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead, find yourself another church. You hear a pastor try to explain that Jesus didn't actually come back to life, find yourself another pastor. Everything hangs on this. Here's why the resurrection is so important. Because Jesus, while on earth, made some very audacious claims. He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be the only way to heaven. He said things like, if you believe in me, you have eternal life. He said things like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then he said, by the way, they're going to kill me. I'm going to die on a cross. They're going to hang me on a cross. I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back to life 3 days later. And then he did. The resurrection of Christ was the sign from God vindicating all of Jesus' audacious claims. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he is no different than any other cult leader. But he did. So when God says, I want you to believe that I brought Jesus back to life, he's saying very much more specifically than just believe that there is a God out there. He says, I want you to know the real one, the one that can save. I want you to know how you're saved. I want you to see the sacrifice that Jesus made. I want you to believe in your heart. Okay. God doesn't want our hard work. He doesn't need it. He just wants us to trust the risen Jesus. Number three, people that trust Jesus, what do? They give him control. He says in verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that if you just simply pronounce the words, Jesus is Lord, God will go, ding, ticket to heaven. You can't just say, well, Jesus is Lord, ticket to heaven, please. That's not how it works. To confess that Jesus is Lord, this is heartfelt. This is a heartfelt confession of Jesus' lordship over all things, including your life. Right? Simply mouthing the words, Jesus is Lord, does not secure salvation. What is implied here is surrender to Jesus as Lord. Right? What is Lord? King, sovereign, ruler, owns it all, controls it all, and therefore it is a call to surrender. This indicates not just a one-time thing either. This is a lifelong commitment that flows from the core of our being, the core of who we are. This is not about saying so much as it is about surrendering. It's not just about saying, it's about surrendering. So God doesn't need our hard work. He doesn't need your hard work. If you've been working hard to get to heaven, stop. Today's the day. He doesn't need our hard work. He just wants you to trust Jesus. And people that trust Jesus, give him control. See, Jesus has done everything necessary to bring heaven right to our doorstep. All you got to do is open up and let him in. That's it. All you got to do is open up, let him in. All you have to do is welcome him in, say, Jesus, I trust you. I give you control of my life. And he'll go to work in you. And he'll start setting things in you right before God. And all you got to do is just embrace that. Body and soul, embrace God's work of doing in you what he did in raising Christ from the dead. That same type of work, you say, you invite it. You say, come on, Lord, do that work. I trust you. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, giving him control, and trusting him to do it for you. That is salvation. That is the only way to heaven. And that starts right now. Heaven starts today, May 9th, 2021, in Northeast Wisconsin. Heaven starts right now, and it just gets better. But God doesn't need our hard work for it. Jesus brought it. Now, when I start talking about giving God control, surrendering, I'm a stubborn guy too. I know that you immediately start asking, well, okay, man, that's a little terrifying because what might he ask me? What might he ask of me? What if he asked me to stop this or to change that or to go here or to do this? I don't even know. We fill in the blanks. We all got our little pet thing. We're terrified of God killing. Listen, don't hold on to that stuff. If we had a clue what awaited us just across the border of surrender, we would not hesitate. Look at verse 11. Paul addresses this. He says, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Do you hear Paul saying that to the Christians in Rome? He's saying, guys, the scripture from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament and right now, it reassures us that no one who trusts Jesus in this way with all their heart and all their soul and giving him fully control, no one who does that will ever regret it. He will not put us to shame. That's the hope Paul mentioned in Romans 5:5 when he said, hope does not put us to shame. Jesus will not let you down in this. Regardless of your religious background, right? Verse 12, he says, for Jew or Greek, doesn't even matter what your religious background is. Regardless of your past, whether you think you've lived a good enough life or not, or whether you think you will be able to live a good enough life or not, whether you think you're good enough or not, or whether you think you will ever be able to be good enough, none of that matters. That is the work I'm trying to convince you to quit. None of that matters. We cannot behave our way into God's grace. It's impossible. We all fall short. Verse 13. Look how clear this message is. Everyone. Look, I did a word study on that word, everyone. You know what it means in the Greek? It means everyone. Everyone who calls out to Jesus, who calls upon the name of the Lord for salvation, will be saved. Not might, will. God doesn't need our hard work. He just wants us to trust Jesus. And people who trust Jesus, just give them control. So if you, this morning, are refusing to give God control of your life or of a little area of your life, I want to ask you, how long are you going to keep living like you know better than God? How long are you going to keep living like God can't take care of you? How long are you going to live like God doesn't actually care about you? Listen, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the gospel. That is a promise that is more firm than the ground we stand on. You can take it to the bank. So, Kenna, would you come back up? We're going to move now to the time of communion. I encourage you, especially if you've never done it before, to just give God the keys of your life. Climb in the back seat and let him drive. Just surrender. God doesn't need our hard work. Just wants us to trust him. We'll celebrate now the Lord's table. If you are not surrendered to Christ as Lord, search your heart. Pause. Maybe today's the day you give him control. If that's you, come talk to me afterwards. We'll pray through this thing. We'll help you out. Or maybe reach out through the website. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus' lordship, today's the day. If there's anything in any of us that we're holding back from God and being stubborn about, I give you just a moment now to bow your head and allow God to search your heart. Do business with God now. Get right with him. Lord, we see that you've done everything necessary to bring heaven right to our doorstep. And we see, Lord, that you simply ask that we trust you. God, I pray that as we trust you, we would see you just go to work in our souls and our lives. Pray for anyone right now who's still rebelling against you, that today would be the day that you would reach in and grab them by the scruff of their neck and pull them out of oncoming traffic. We praise you, Jesus. Amen. We remember the night when Jesus was betrayed, the night before he'd go to the cross. He took the bread and after giving thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." Likewise, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "This is my blood poured out for a new covenant, a new relationship, a new experience, a fresh covenant with God. Take and drink." Stand with me, church. I pray that God would richly bless you as you learn to trust him more and more and surrender to him more and more. Would you experience the gospel promised blood bought love of Christ in your lives? May God richly bless you. Have a wonderful week.